Good morning, everybody. This morning when I woke up, I think I must have woken up about five or so times, because thank you. I was just so conscious that the time was changing. And I set my alarm. I was looking at my phone clock, my phone alarm, like every 2 hours. Then it now occurred to me that, hang on, your phone clock sets automatically. So, you know, I'm sure we know that the time went back one by 1 hour. So it just occurred to me at the last waking of that, hang on, your phone alarm, well, your phone resets automatically. I was not like, oh, that's true. It's not like back in the day when it was like, you know, you had to like do it manually on a clock. Like, you know. And if you're looking at me and you're like, what is Pastor Benson talking about? Then I can tell that you were born after 19... What? when did the mobile phones come out? I'll just be able to tell just by looking at you how old you truly are. If you're like, oh, I get it, then yeah. Otherwise, I know that you're Gen Z or Gen F or Gen W or what was it? Gen something. I've never been able to figure out which one exactly. All right, so good morning. For those who this is your first time here, this is CFT Bristol Church. We are a church that's based out of London. The pastor of this branch here, the Bristol branch. My name is Pastor Benson, so welcome. So what we do as a church normally from a teaching perspective is we try and get a sense of what God's telling us as a church, and we will teach on that particular topic, maybe for about a month or 6 weeks, so that we can really focus on what God's telling us as a local church. Because I believe that for every local church, God has like a message for that group of people, because they're all as a group at different stages of life and things like that. So this month we started a series called What Really Matters in This Life? What Really Matters in This Life? So that's what we've been looking at since the beginning of the month. And what I mentioned when we started was life goes by so quickly, and we should, or what I try and do, is try and make a habit of slowing down once in a while and just saying, okay, all these things that I'm doing, I'm running up and down, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, in the context of real life, in the context of eternity with God, what really matters? Or should I say, what really matters more? Now, the thing is this. As human beings, we all have different things that we do. Some of us go to school, some of us go to work, some of us, we do all these things that are really important. So it's not like we do things that it's not like we do things that are not important. We all do things that we have to do. But it's just saying that, look, you and I need to take a pause once in a while and ask that question, what really matters in this life? So that we can take stock. Now, last week we looked at, still looking at what really matters in this life, we looked at a particular gentleman called Elijah. And he went through like an interesting time in his life. We talked about isolation last week and how there are times that we're going through challenges or we're thinking in a particular way and we isolate ourselves from everyone, and that just, you know, it's not the best place to be. So we looked at that in great detail. Today I'm looking at something slightly different under that topic of what really matters in this life. And the subtopic is, what I've called it is, God sees you and God knows you. God sees you and God knows you. Now, what do I mean by that? We'll look at that in using the story of a man in the Bible called Gideon. But there are two scriptures that I want us to keep at the back of our minds as we go through the life, or part of the life, of this gentleman in the Bible. and reflect on how that relates to us now in real life. So those two scriptures are the first one, which is one that if you woke me up in bed, and you asked what my favorite scripture is, I'd say, my kids, you know. Did I say my kids? I apologize, not kids, the people that live in my house? I'm not looking in any particular direction, so that word kids, we don't use that anymore. That's for people who are on the 10 and ish. So, favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. And I'll read. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God tells Jeremiah this, and it's the same thing that applies to us generally and to every human being. And he says, "I know the plans that I have for you." Now, why would God be saying, "I know the plans that I have for you"? Just to remind Jeremiah to say, look, you're not a random human being who's walking up and down fish ponds, not knowing what life holds for you. You're not just one in a billion people who feels that no one sees you and you're irrelevant in this life. No. It says to him, "I know you. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future." The other scripture that I want us to bear at the back of our minds is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And in that portion of scripture, it says, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." It says, "His divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness." So in this portion of scripture, God is telling us that, look, I've given you all things that you need for this earth. Everything that pertains to life, your daily life, and everything that pertains to godliness, your spiritual life, through the knowledge of Christ. So combining those two scriptures together, where God says, "I have a plan for you. You're not just a random person. And I have a plan not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future." If you combine that with the second scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that says, "Not only do I have a plan for you, I've also put inside of you all that you need to fulfill that plan through the knowledge of Christ." So let's put those scriptures on the back burner in our minds as we look at the story of this man called Gideon in the Bible. It's a bit of a lengthy read, but I'll make a number of points. And we're looking at the book of Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. So Gideon, back in the day, I said back in the day as if I was there when he was there. I think maybe I need to change my phrasing a bit and not say back in the day. Can someone suggest something I can use? Should I say something like, "Back"? I'm going to be American now. Southern American. Should I say something like Batman? I remember I have, like, my sister and her family, they live in Canada, and those chaps are like half American, half Brits, but they speak like Americans. And I remember they brought their daughter to London, our house. This was about 10 years ago. She was really young. And we were all like in the living room, and their daughter comes up and says, "Hello, uncle, can I have some water?" And my kids were looking at her like as if it was like a show. We almost said, "Can you repeat that again?" So I think I poked her. I said, what did you say, darling? "Can I have some water?" Because we wanted to hear her. We wanted to hear her say water, water all the time. I said, what did you say there? "Uncle, can I have some water?" I said, what? "Water, water." So, I don't know, I just love that American accent. But I said, irrespective of what your accent is in America or Canada, I will not say water, it's water. Anyway, coming back to the story of Gideon here, this man was someone who God had a plan for as well. The same thing we've just read from Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. And 2 Peter chapter 1 as well applied to him. God had a plan for him. God had a plan for him, and God had put everything that he needed to fulfill that plan in him. But we read the story of this man, and it kind of like typifies us in another context. So I'm going to read. It says here, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So at that point in time in the history of Israel, so he was an Israelite, they had gone through a lot as a nation. Things were so bad that they were at the verge of starvation. It was really challenging for them. And Gideon was sat there one afternoon. Actually, I don't know if it was afternoon. I'm just going to say afternoon. So he was sat there just going about his business, and an angel appears to him and addresses him. He says, "Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And this must have been a shock to him, because he will have thought, hang on, have you got the right person here? Are you talking to the right person here? And he now goes on. So this was God speaking to Gideon through the angel. Gideon now goes on to explain to the angel, to God, why he probably had the wrong address. And I'll read verse 13 of Judges chapter 6. It says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" So Gideon begins to tell God that, okay, I hear you. I hear you, but if you're saying that you're with us, or if you're saying that you're with me, why have all these things happened to me? Why did this happen to me when I was 9 years old? Why did this happen to me when I was 16? Why is this happening to me now? Why are things going haywire around me? Explain to me. Do you understand? So probably the same way I'm saying to us this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that God says he has a plan for you, a hope and a future. And you might be reflecting and say, well, that's good, Pastor Benson, but if only you knew what's going on, you probably wouldn't say that. But I'll just keep a straight face, you know. I'll keep a straight face. So Gideon begins to explain to the angel and to God that, look, if you're with us, why have all these things happened to us? And he now goes, where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about? Didn't the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of the Midian. So Gideon now goes further to say, okay, whatever. Whatever. You can say whatever you want, angel. If God is with us, why have all these things happened to us? Then he goes a step further. And he says, in fact, not only is it suspect that what you're saying, that God's with us, because if God was with me, why would all these things have happened to me? In fact, I'm going to go a step further. God has actually abandoned me. He says, God, you've abandoned me. You've just left me to the devices of life. You've just left me to the devices of life. So Gideon doesn't cover his circumstance or his pain with what I'll call religious talk. You know, there are times that like you hear like a nice sermon and all that, you know, and they're like, sorry, if this is your first time in this church, I'm going to please ask you to pardon me. And the reason I'm saying that is that I sometimes kind of like refer to our brothers and our sisters in America quite a bit. And I might communicate in a way that is, but just blank that part out. Yeah. So we hear like a nice sermon and all that, and we're going, oh, God, and I'm preaching like my brothers and my sisters in America. I'm like, oh, God is good. And your response is meant to be, all the time, don't worry. You can pretend to be Americans for a bit. Just say, all the time. Otherwise, I'm going to ship all of you to America for a few weeks to learn the lingo. So when I say, God is good, that's a typical British response. I'll let you guys off. You haven't had a lot of practice. I'll do it on my own. I go, God is good. Oh, God's gonna prosper you. All your problems, as you step out that door, everything will disappear. And you know. Then if I want to make it like super dramatic, I can put like a little American step there. I'll go, oh, the keyboardist will go, I'll go, oh, 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 but I'm not going to do that. I'm like, oh, oh, then we'll just spend the remaining 1 hour just dancing. And by the end of the 1 hour, I'll be like, what happened? You see, Gideon did not go down that route. He was like, I'm not having any of that. This is real life. Not doing any of that dancing or anything. I'm in pain here. In fact, God, you've abandoned me. So he was very forthright and very straightforward with God because he had had enough. He had had enough. And this was where Gideon was. And we go forward as we read on in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. After he had said all these things, I would have expected that God would have said, oh, man, you had a hard life, Gideon. You have had a hard life. Time, your life has been tough, Gideon. You got a tissue. I could cry with you this morning. No, God didn't say that. God just told him in the same chapter 6, verse 14. It says, and the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Gideon now goes, God, you're not really listening to me. And he goes to verse 15 and says, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? God is now asking him to do something. God is shifting the attention from him to say, okay, look, I have work for you to do to save Israel. And Gideon is like, you definitely have the wrong address here. And he goes on in verse 16, he says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. So Gideon starts by just saying, look, you've got the wrong person. God ignores that and says, go, still go. Then Gideon begins to explain to him. We begin to see the thing that's really in the heart of Gideon. We begin to see how he views himself. And that's quite key. Gideon begins to tell God that, look, my clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. So Gideon looks at himself and he says, God, okay, maybe you have a plan for me. You've convinced me that far. Maybe you have a hope and a future for me. Well, man, my clan, my family, nothing to write home about. And even in that context, I'm the weakest. I'm like the guy that you just don't want to. Nothing going for me. Nothing ever good has gone for me. Nothing is going to happen. I mean, look for somebody else. So Gideon begins to reveal what his heart is saying. You know, there are times that where, you know, when you're alone by yourself and you're on the bed and you're looking up into the sky, I'm like, my goodness, is this my life? I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Gideon was there. So why am I talking about Gideon this morning? Because I believe that for a lot of us, not every time in life, is not every time that life is like challenging. There are times that, you know, there are good things that happen in our lives. But sometimes the things that are not happening that we expect to happen sometimes overshadow our lives, like this man. So Gideon was telling God that, look, okay, fine, you have a plan for me, so on and so forth, but let me just carry on with my life. Don't ask me to do anything in the context of church. Just when I have time, I'll just listen to a few sermons here and there, but just leave me alone because I'm not the guy that you need. So that was what Gideon was saying. And verse 16 says, the Lord answered, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites. So God was telling Gideon that, you just go, do what I've asked you to do. Just go and do what I've asked you to do. So that's the story of Gideon. I just want to make a few points this morning, maybe in the next 10 or so minutes, then we'll pray, about Gideon and his life and what that really means for us as well. I'm thinking, am I recording this thing? Yes, I am. Sorry, 1 minute. So, a number of points with regards to how that applies to us. The first point is this. Gideon experienced a lot of hardship in his life. Now, everyone experiences some form of hardship. It might be emotional. It might be just life throwing things at you unexpectedly sometimes. But Jesus said something in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things, Jesus was saying, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So the first point is this, Jesus himself said to us, he says, in this life, you will have trouble. It's not you may, it's not maybe you might, he says you will. So the first point I want to make this morning is this, life is tough, but it doesn't mean because life's tough for you, there's anything wrong with you. Jesus says that everybody has and will have their own challenges in life to face. But he doesn't stop there. He says, look, there is a peace that I can still give you in the midst of life's challenging circumstances. So Gideon's situation or Gideon's context wasn't, I don't want to use a big deal because it's a big deal when it's you going through it. But God was saying, look, I life is tough, but there's a peace that I can give you. Life is tough. That's the thing. Anybody that says, oh, life is easy, well, all the best. So Jesus was managing our expectations here that, look, life is tough. But in the midst of the toughness of life, my peace is present. So the life of Gideon was a really tough one. The other thing as well, when the angel met Gideon, he was by himself threshing wheat. He was making wheat, like, you know, if don't worry about that, if you don't get what that means. Or let me put in context. He was going to Tesco's to buy cornflakes. He was just going about his normal business, just trying his best just to, you know, keep in there. So like a lot of us, we just want to just focus on our lives. Nobody should trouble me. I'm not going to trouble anyone. I'm just going to, you know, do my everyday life easy. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus now says, look, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. So the second point is this. Gideon, like a lot of us, was just going about his daily normal life, trying to make ends meet, paying council tax, paying the water bill, telling those guys that ring you on the phone and say, you have a chance to invest in... Oh man, those guys should be jailed. Anyway, that's... Oh yes, they should be. Can you beat that? One day, I mean, I've been hearing about all these funny people calling you. I was like, oh, that can never happen to me. I mean, I think I'm street smart a bit. You know, that's for people who are in their like 90s, who they're not quite, you know, savvy and all that. And I'm at home one day, and I get a ring on the phone, pick up the phone. This is about, 8 years ago. This guy goes, oh, hello, is that Mr. Benson? I said, yeah. I just want to let you know that we've looked at your tax returns and it's not been filed properly. And, just down the road from you, it's the HMRC doing a crackdown on people who are owing tax. And I'm just like really, it's really sad to say that you need to sort this out because they're going to be at yours pretty soon. But I thought from the HMRC, let's just give you a pre-warning and all that. That's Mr. Benson, right? I said, yeah. And I was not like, oh, sorry, I mean, my accountant is one that files the thing, you know, maybe you guys. He said, oh, no, that you're the one who's personally responsible. And he was going on and on. I was like, oh my goodness. You don't want to be in trouble with the HMRC. And this guy was going, I was trying to explain and all that. And I was now like, oh my, this, you know, I need to sort this out. I was like, oh, maybe I should call my accountant and all that. And he said, oh, that I need to act quick, but, you know, he knows that the way I'm speaking to him, it seems like I'm a pretty decent guy who's forthright, and he understands and he just wants to make sure that for people like me, I'm not arguing with him, I'm trying to, you know, that we have like I don't go to court and all that. So I was like, okay, this guy's a good guy. And I says, by the way, these guys will be out of yours soon, just giving you a pre-warning, but what you can do if you want these guys not to harass you and all that is if you can just transfer some money straight away. I'm like, oh, and that at that point in time, I think I had spent like, I don't know why, but thank God I bought that thing. And I said, oh, you need to transfer like, he said something like, one funny, I said, oh, I don't have that kind of money here. I'll call the HMRC, we'll arrange if truly I'm owing that. And I says, oh, you only have a short time. And now goes, oh, by the way, if you don't have that money, do you have any relatives around who can lend you that money? I said, hang on. Then the red light went on. I said, hang on, relatives? Then it occurred to me that this guy's a scammer. Sorry, I'm talking about because it was quite hurtful then. And I said, oh, sorry, I don't have any relatives here. He said, oh, Mr. Benson, your time is really ticking. I just said, hang on, you're a scammer. I was so upset. I was like, it's people like you that, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I won't say what I told him that day. It's people like you that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can interpret that to whatever you want that to mean. How did I get there? Talking about my personal problems on pulpit. So what I was just saying is this. case those guys call you. Just don't give them any money. Gideon was just trying to make ends meet, like all of us do. Just trying to, you know, live our lives the best way we can. And that was what Gideon was doing. So that's the second point. A few more points and I'll close. And the third thing was this. He thought that because of the challenges that were, well, because of all the challenges that he was facing, that meant God wasn't with him. So he was saying, if God was really with me, I pray, I'm a Christian, why are all these things happening to me? Definitely because these things are happening to me, maybe I've offended God somewhere and God has left me. So the third point here is this, for Gideon, he equated the things that were going about around him, the negative things, to he came to a conclusion by himself that definitely these sorts of things don't happen to Christians. These sorts of things shouldn't happen. And he said, well, if they're happening, that means there's something wrong with me. Maybe I've done something. And what did that do to Gideon? It closed him up to God. So it was a wrong assumption. It was a wrong assumption. So he let his circumstances push him to the point, or he allowed his personal circumstances to bring him to a conclusion, because of the thought process, to bring him to the conclusion that, look, definitely there's something wrong somewhere. And I think God definitely isn't with me. So you might look at Gideon and say, okay, that's a bit weird. But we come to the same conclusions sometimes when you're thinking, and I'm thinking like, if this happened, I prayed about this, I did this, definitely God, something is wrong somewhere. But the truth of the matter is this, there was absolutely nothing wrong with him from God's perspective. Nothing. Nothing at all. There was nothing wrong with him from God's perspective, irrespective of what he was going through. Two more points. The fourth thing is this. God now tells him to go and do stuff for him. And at that point, he just lets go. And he's like, man, I can't sing or play guitar like Pastor Benson. Don't worry, a few lessons. Yeah. I can't even speak. Like Moses was telling God, I can't, I'm so shy. I'm just, you know. How could I be of any use to God? I don't think so. That was what Gideon was saying. So, I'm saying this because you might be sat here, right? And you're probably thinking the same thing, that I'm just going to come to church when I'm free. If I don't turn up, nobody misses me. I'm not really consequential in anybody's life. Things can go on without me. I will not be missed. I won't be missed, you know? Maybe Pastor might text me once in a while. How are you? By the way, if I text you, if I have your number and I text you, it's not like I'm texting you to harass you. I'm texting you because I'm actually concerned. Like, how are you? Hope you're fine. And like, oh, another text from Pastor. Hope you're fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm just giving you like a pre-warning. So Gideon as well, they can get on without me. I'm just inconsequential. But God said, no, you are consequential. Not because of who you think you are or what you think you can do, but because of what I have put in you. And I believe last week I was saying that, look, there's something that God has in each and every one of us. And I think one example I gave last week is this, about turning up at church. or at our meetings. Do you know that there are people who leave home, right, sometimes, and they come to church, meetings like this, and they just drag themselves out of bed and turn up. And they're thinking, well, nobody really has anything. I'm just, you know. And you turn up in church. You're not singing, you're not preaching, you're not, you know, you just turn up in church. And after the service, you go to them and they're like, oh, hi, how are you doing? Hope you had a nice week. And that really touches them, because before they came to church, it was like, well, nobody really, you know, notices me about, nobody asks me how my week is and stuff like that. And you just casually just do that. And they go away really touched. So your being present alone is as good as the person who sings. Or so if I preach like for like, who knows, 30 minutes and it doesn't touch that person, because all they need at that point is someone to ask them how their week was. And you ask them that. That means you've achieved with me or with the people who are singing together in impacting that person's life. Do you understand? So Gideon just thought, look, I'm irrelevant. And the last point I want to make this morning is this. To remind us, again, that it's not exactly who you think you are that you are, or what circumstances make you out to be. No. It's who God has made you to be. It is how God sees you that really matters. Do you understand? And he goes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with heavenly blessings in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So, am I saying we should deny reality around us? Am I saying you shouldn't feel sad if things are not going as you wish? Yeah, we will experience those emotions because we're human. However, we need to remind ourselves again and again that your circumstances or your view about yourself, even though they're the facts of the matter, it's not necessarily who you are and how God sees you, like this man. And Gideon went ahead and did a lot of great things for God. He made a difference in his life and in the lives of the people around him. A man who thought, man, there's nothing going on for me in life, or even if there's something going on for me in life, just count me out of this church business thing. Count me out. I just want to live a quiet life. So I'm just going to leave us with that this week to say, look, what really matters in this life? One of the things that really matters in this life, I tell you, is that you and I understand and remind ourselves that, look, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God has a good plan for you. God cares about you. God values you as you, not based on the things that are going on around you or the things that have happened to you. And I believe that as we do that, Jesus said, even though you go through the fire, even though you go through trouble, there is a certain peace that he gives, John chapter 14, verse 27, that will make life joyful and worthwhile for you. Do you understand? So let's have that thought. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we just pray. And to just reflect what we just want to reflect on this morning is this, that God, you need to really help me to focus on you. The difference between being, one of the key things that we have as believers is the peace of God, is the right perspective of God, irrespective of what's going on around us. And that peace and that perspective is yours. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just talk to God this morning and just ask that he will help us to reframe our perspective. That's truly the plans that he has for you and I, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, still stands, irrespective of how we feel, not disregarding how we feel, irrespective of what we think about ourselves, not disregarding what we think about ourselves, but just embracing what God says about you and I. Let's just pray. It's a quiet prayer between you and the Lord this morning. My Father, my King, immortal, invincible God, only wise. Father, who are we that you're mindful of us? There are hundreds and millions and billions of people on the earth, but you care about us as individuals. Who are we? Father, what an honor to be cared for by you. What an honor to be loved by you. What an honor to be that you're concerned for us. Father, we thank you this morning. We ask that you bring to our remembrance all the time. Bring to our remembrance all the time the reality of how you see us, oh God. Father, we thank you. Our Father and our King, Father, I pray for all the people that are here this morning and even for those that are not here. Lord, I'm asking that you bring to our remembrance all the time, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Father, I pray that you will strengthen those who are weary, that you will strengthen those who are going through one challenge or the other. And for those who are not, Father, I'm asking that you will increase their joy as well. Lord, for anyone who is ill, your word says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that you bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. 1 Peter says, by your stripes we are healed. I speak healing to everyone who is unwell in the name of Jesus. For the person who has pain in their knee on the left, I speak healing to that knee in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor this morning. In Jesus' name.